Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The husband is here, too, Tom Fitzmaurice.
Yeah, I'm just here, but I'm happy to be anywhere. So
we're just hanging out, and I thought we'd pull a little switcheroo on you. So I'm taking the show in and out.
Why not?
And doing the commercials today, and Tom and I are just chatting away.
You know, I love doing the program this way because it tends to kind of like focus in on what people have actually done in the way of eating or cooking or anything. And then they kind of crunch it in again and they release it. And then you can get some other ideas. And whenever I'm sitting around here, something different that I haven't tried before.
It's like an accordion, in and out. In and
yeah.
Out. You look nice today, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I like the tie and the white shirt.
I couldn't show the smudge on it that you said you saw. But
you couldn't see it? Shocker!
No.
Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. We have had a sort of an all-over-the-place show. We started off talking about lobster and have wound up talking about ice cream, and just now we had a caller who was talking about sausage in jambalaya.
Sausage
and
jambalaya.
I want to talk about pepper.
Pepper.
Going back to your gazetteer, which is such a good little roadmap for the show.
Thank you.
That you've assembled over 40 years. So there was a story about Lewis and Clark in here.
Mm-hmm.
And one or the other of them is quoted as saying, "My fare is really sumptuous this evening. Buffalo's humps, tongues and marrow bones, fine trout, parched meal pepper, and salt, and a good appetite. The last is not considered the least of the luxuries." Do you remember when salt and pepper was such a luxury and an item that was used as barter? I mean, the spice route back in the day, as in way, way back in the day, it was luxury.
It was.
To have these flavors that you would impart into your food.
And it goes
back
to the...
We take it for granted now, but, you know.
It goes back to the Roman Empire. Sal, S-A-L, that's actually part of the word for salt.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who were, especially the military guys in the Roman Empire, they would start off with the different kinds of herbs, but particularly the
salt
and pepper. And it's made this huge, huge medical and trading.
Yeah, they traded.
Yeah.
They
like crazy.
The Silk Route, I forget what it's. I think it was. It's the Silk Route, but there's also
Venice. That's the one you can get to around here.
No, it was. The whole world was developed from moving these spices around. And I think Madagascar is where the pepper came from, isn't it?
That's true. Yeah. Well, it's one kind of pepper anyway.
Yeah. That's a black pepper, right? Is black pepper from Madagascar?
Well, black pepper and white pepper are exactly the same thing.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. And,
well, then why do they say white pepper is more potent than black?
Well, imagine this. When you do the black peppercorns, they're kind of like run through, not a grinder exactly, just something that would kind of like rub them a little bit, and then a lot of the exterior part of that will just be, you know, bounced away. But what they were really after is the center part of it, which is the white
pepper.
Uh-huh. And that's where it comes from.
I see.
So, okay. And then finally you have things like pink peppers,
Himalayan or Himalayan, as they say.
Well, neither one of them is really that. It's not even in the same species.
What is it?
It's some exotic peppers that come from mostly Africa.
Is it a type of black pepper? Is it the same kind of thing, or is it more like a red pepper or something?
Yeah, the red peppers are in a category
that's
like the Tabasco.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a totally different thing.
Totally different.
Okay.
So the
and
white
black
and the
pepper is what, like a bud? What is that?
It's what you would have after you dried. That's very important. They dry the little nodules of black pepper, and then they kind of grind it down a little bit, and this is kind of like what we said a minute ago, but the what's left is the white peppercorn, which is much more intensely flavored.
Wait, so there's a white peppercorn inside of a black peppercorn?
Exactly, that's right.
And okay, and the pink peppercorns, like if you get these tri-peppercorns, they're pink, white, and black.
Yeah.
So what, they just throw the pink ones and they don't belong there?
No, the pink ones come from some exotic
item. But they're the same, I guess, genus, would that be it? They're the same genus?
Well, I don't have all of that. I don't have that kind of information in my pocket exactly, but it is the white pepper and the black pepper are the same thing.
Okay,
just cut up a little bit, and then all the rest of it, the pink, the red peppers, all of that is from a different place.
Do you remember when before everyone was a gourmet and all you had?
There was such a time as that,
and all you had for black pepper was just your basic black pepper that you put into a shaker, and that was what you used for black pepper. And then somewhere along, maybe in the 80s or the late 70s, someone decided that people needed coarse ground pepper. And so the pepper mills, you started seeing the pepper mills. When did that come in?
Oh, that's as long back as you want to look, and because the trade that was being done by the Venetians.
Yes. Right.
And they were in Venice, obviously.
So they were doing the pepper mills back then?
And they were going all over the world from then. That's why they were so wealthy.
The spice route.
Spice route, exactly.
The spice route and the Silk Road, I think, were the same thing. They used the same trails or roads or whatever.
But there were others, too, believe it or not.
But I'm talking about modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Somewhere along the line, it became standard to have the little canister of McCormick black pepper, and you could either
grind it.
You could either open up the part that you shook, or if you made a mistake, the part where you got a whole bunch of pepper coming out at the same time, big mistake. But then I think this was the 70s or the 80s when all the restaurants started being bistro-y.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone got the idea to grind peppercorns, because I didn't see this growing up. Now, I did grow up in Kenna, so.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't really grind in the same way that bell peppers don't do anything but be spreadable or choppable in little tiny bits. But
I'm talking about black pepper.
Yeah.
When restaurateurs or the servers in a restaurant, you would have the black pepper in the little shaker, and you would have the white pepper in the shaker. This was before the grinder.
Oh, okay.
Well, my question is, when did the grinder become the way most people consume these spices?
I
think it was like the early 80s. Do you think it was before then?
I couldn't tell you, but
restaurants before I was. So were you seeing it when you first started to review restaurants?
When I first started going to restaurants that were
the grinder thing?
And that was already there. And
it was?
Yeah, everywhere you went.
Somebody that's older than us or someone
Well, I'm not very old. How old are you?
Has been dining out longer, because we both grew up in Kenner. So, I mean, I went to a restaurant maybe four times in my life before I, graduated from college, so maybe it was in restaurants back in the 60s. But did you see, if you were out in restaurants then, were there pepper grinders mm-hmm. that waiters were taking to tables
yeah.
and grinding?
It was mostly waiters in restaurants at
well,
first.
Of course, that's what I'm saying.
And they would walk up with these things that looked like pretty much like baseball bats, except maybe a little.
They were larger then.
They were
definitely larger.
And they even had that shape, too.
Yeah. But I see people who, you know, servers that will come to the table and it looks like they've got a holster on, and that's for their pepper grinder.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I really like ground pepper on just about anything.
Oh,
and
if
the server says, do you want ground pepper, for me the answer is always yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I don't know if that's true of most people, but it is
I think
for
it
me,
is,
for sure.
Pretty much.
I mean, it's good for you. Yeah.
It is good for you, especially the ones from the from Africa and South America.
I mean, I do that in lieu of salt now, but mm-hmm. you can also grind yeah. salt too. I mean, I don't understand that. I'm not a sea salt kind of person. I would rather the regular Morton's table salt. But I do remember the days when you had the little canisters, the little cans of mm-hmm. both of those. And that's
sure.
that's my earliest recollection of pepper. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number.
Can I throw one more yeah. last thing in what you were just talking about?
Of course.
No, I'm serious.
Go ahead.
There was one more aspect to this, and that is that when the red peppers started coming in, like Tabasco being probably the best example. And anyway, the Tabasco and other peppers like that really transformed
yeah,
the way
did.
We ate.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Bob, and we can come back to that. Hi, Bob.
I can remember. I can remember pepper mills going way back. My parents had them back. I know in the 50s, I believe.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I wonder if they've always been around. I mean,
Yeah. And you know, I don't know if you like to publicize somebody else, but Elton Brown on Food Network has had a couple of shows on peppers that have been very good.
It's
I mean, it's like really going into detail about all the things y'all been talking about.
Yeah.
And the different kinds of peppers and where the black ones and where the white ones and where mm-hmm. the pink ones and where come from and stuff.
It's fascinating. Is that Elton Brown? Because he used to do stuff
yes.
like that. Is it Elton
yes.
Brown or is
yes.
it somebody else?
No, it's Elton Brown. Yeah, Elton Brown.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm from Memphis. He says Gibson's Donuts in Memphis are the most perfect donut in America, basically.
Wait, what is? What's the person?
Gibson's Donuts.
Gibson's
He's up there.
Donuts.
Yeah, Gibson's. G-I-B-S-O-N, Gibson's.
Okay.
He comes, whenever he's in town, he always goes by Gibson's and they film something there, basically. Of him, you know, looking through a donut or looking through a whole row of donuts or whatever, or he'll get up on top of the roof of the store and throw donuts at people. But he's in Memphis a good bit. The Food Network likes Memphis.
Like that right?
I'm sure they like New Orleans.
I wonder why. What is
barbecue? And it's uh-huh. a good food town too.
Uh huh. Is that how far is Memphis from the Doe's Eat Place? Place is that far?
Not that far, about 50 miles.
Oh, really?
That's in Greenwood, Mississippi.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
Okay.
And there's also another restaurant.
On Nelson Street.
There's another restaurant there called Lusco's that's real good.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the Alluvian Hotel, which has booths with curtains at the end of it. So if you wanted to eat, you know, in private or whatever.
And the ducks.
Or draw the curtain. Yeah. No, the ducks are the Peabody.
Right.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah. If yeah. they, what did you say? Carts.
You need to come to Memphis sometime and do your show from the Peabody.
We definitely
the lobby of the Peabody.
Do need to go to Memphis. We you haven't know, been since. I want to say
William
Hurricane George. Go ahead. What?
William Faulkner said that the delta of the Mississippi River began in the lobby of the Peabody Hotel.
That's pretty much true. We went and spent a few days there in the middle of one of the hurricanes.
Yeah, it was Hurricane George. I don't remember
Hurricane
when that
George.
Was.
Okay. Yes. That was the Euro hurricane.
I want to say
I was at the coast. I was in Destin during George. And it was
yeah.
it was a real it, mild hurricane over there. We got out of the beach and during the middle of Hurricane George, and it felt like your legs were getting pelted by like BB guns, basically.
Yeah.
Well,
they carried everybody off from the coast because of from George, because it was going to be so big, and I guess it must have hit worse over in New Orleans.
No, it really wasn't that much in New Orleans either. I remember that it was actually my father's 80th birthday, and we had a cake ordered and everything, and everybody just sort of evaporated. We all went out of town, and we got there, and I remember Tom was always wanting to run out of, New Orleans for a hurricane, and I never did want to do it. And so he got me that one time, and we rode up to Memphis at 70 miles an hour with cars about a foot from each bumper,
It's about a 5-hour drive from New Orleans.
Yeah, and I came back I think we were in far less trouble just staying in New Orleans with the hurricane than driving to Memphis.
Could be.
I'll be going to the Peabody tonight. They have a rooftop party every Thursday night where they have bands and food and bars and stuff on the rooftop.
Oh, so you're actually in Memphis right now?
I'm driving back. I was in Tupelo earlier.
Oh, okay.
And believe it or not, Tom, there's a really good Thai restaurant in Tupelo. I'm all places.
Who would think?
Really? Oh my gosh!
Probably better than the Thai restaurants in Memphis. I ate lunch there today, actually.
What is this world coming to if you have a good Thai restaurant in Tupelo?
I'm building a Checkers restaurant in Tupelo, a modular deal. It's the burgers and probably the best French fries you've ever. They dip them in some kind of batter and then fry them, and they're just delicious.
You're a contractor? Really good,
I am, and they have really good peach mango smoothies.
I see. Okay. Well, I think.
Wait a minute. I love listening to your show right now. I'm already on the car. I did the radio.com or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Coming through loud and clear.
HD.
Okay.
HD2. HD2.
HD2. Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling, bud.
But I enjoy listening to your show whenever I can listen to it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
See you later. It's the food show.
260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. We have to take a break, but first let me tell you about Porter and Luke. Porter and Luke is a great little comfort food place in Metairie. It is tucked away. I don't need that, Tom. I know it by heart.
I have the whole menu in my hand, and it's
huge. In that
shopping
center by Walgreens and Oakwin Heart, and it is two doors down from Oakwin Heart. It is the former Zeke's restaurant, if that helps you out any, but go in there and check it out. It's a wonderful little place. I can't decide if they're more famous for their fried chicken for that fried, breaded and fried eggplant boat that's filled with seafood dressing and then served over angel hair pasta with cream sauce. That is very popular. You see them going through the dining room all the time that you're there. My favorite is the club sandwich. They do serve it with a honey mustard dressing, but I ask them to sub out mayo. They serve it piled high with fresh-cut chips that are really good. And it's just a really good neighborhood restaurant. Meatballs and spaghetti's on my list to try.
Yep.
I still haven't gotten there yet. The red beans and rice also. But Porter and Luke, and they are now serving brunch on Sunday.
That's right.
So you have an extra day now to try out their delicious comfort food. Porter and Luke at 1517 Metairie Road. Go see them.
Are you ready to move on, or may I say one more thing about this place?
Please.
They have a salad there, and Mary Lee, our daughter, she went nuts over this. It's a triple wedge salad. This is where you get a head of salad
into
thirds instead of into quarters.
Yes.
And one of them is topped with jumbo lump crab meat and ravigotte sauce. Another wedge was topped with shrimp and remoulade sauce. And the third one was just a crisp fried oysters with Maytag, and blue cheese dressing. Any of those would make a meal.
It would, but together they make a gigantic meal.
They are a big eat, yeah.
I'll tell you that. It's a gigantic meal. 260-6368 is the number if you would like to chat with us. I think If Tom had been a little closer to the window just now, he would be hurling
down. Out the window.
He would have been hurling down on top of the building that is being renovated. Tom, what happened to your chair?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll fix it during the break. We'll go ahead and take a break. We'll be back. You missed a really good show. 260-6368. I'm Marianne Fitzmaurice, and with Tom Fitzmaurice, who has managed to get back on his chair, but only after switching the chair out, because we've been playing musical chairs in this break.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like I'm sitting on the floor, too.
Are you okay now, Tom?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I was good. I was not bad. It just looked silly.
Yeah. Yeah, he almost fell out the window. It's a good thing that the window is strong. And then he wasn't that close to it because, seriously, all of a sudden I was looking at him and he was gone. All right.
Well, the excitement you get.
Yes, it is so exciting. 260-6368 is the number if you would like to have an exciting conversation with us. We have been talking about, oh, my goodness, seafood, ducks. Pepper. Lobster, ice cream, let's see, what else? Vanilla. So what I'm saying is it doesn't really matter what you have to say. Please call us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Tom, you look like you're antsy to say something. What do you want to say?
Oh, it's a perfect, you've already said it. If you have anything at all on your mind.
Don't give the phone number.
Just give us a call.
Don't give the phone number.
Don't give the phone number.
No, you're fired from giving the phone number. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. Boy, I can really identify with this, especially with all the eating we've been doing lately. There's a guy who was in the Civil War, and he actually wanted to blockade New Orleans by getting in the way of, the Mississippi River, just sort of taking control of it. And he was so fat that he had to be lifted onto a horse with a crane.
That was one of our guys.
So, yeah, his name was General Winfield Scott. Well, that's not surprising, you know, because we do have a sort of an obesity problem in the city.
We do,
because the food
is
too good. That's the problem.
Yeah, what are you going to do about that? Yeah, sure.
The food is just too good. You know, we were reminiscing about the Hilton Hotel and its restaurants back in the day. And we never did get the location of Winston's or when it went kaput.
It was
because I would like to know about that. I'm trying to picture this place, Winston's. Where you said it was on the second floor?
Yeah, it was. And again, I tell you, the way to see it, if you could just come into our studio here and just look straight across, you've got the Lowe's Hotel on the left-hand side, and then the Hilton is right beyond it there. It's in a little bit. And that's where it all was. But it was, they didn't have a printed menu. That's what they were famous for.
Wait, was it Gabby's? What was the place that was pretty much water level?
I've been trying to remember
in the
that.
Hilton. People,
it had
you
a,
have to help me out here. I know that you know what I'm talking about. It was in the Hilton Hotel. It went away with Katrina.
Chappie's.
No,
that wasn't it.
It
no.
was a very popular
it was something
brunch
like that.
Spot.
Yeah.
Way in the back of the Hilton, close to the water, and it went away with Katrina, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. I'm going to have to call the Hilton if I can't find the name of it. But also, I started to tell you at the top of the break, there was on the rooftop a kind of hip place.
Yep.
And I want to say it was the Rainforest or something like that. Now there's a chain of restaurants called the Rainforest, so maybe that wasn't it. But it was like a lunch buffet. And this was where I first tasted meat that wasn't meat, fake meat.
Oh, boy, I can't
and
wait to hear this.
Like, it was a lot of nuts. They had nuts in it and walnuts. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't meat, but it wasn't bad. It's kind of like my mom's mock oyster patties. back in the day when she used to have that Christmas Eve party and it was full of horrible stuff that would have made you cry.
Mm.
It's a good thing you missed those days, Tom. Actually, you didn't miss those days.
I was there for a lot of them.
Yes,
a lot of interesting people there.
I remember you were responsible for destroying my mother's Christmas Eve party.
What did I do?
You came along, you took me away from my mother's oyster patties and brought me over to the Brennans for their Christmas Eve party, where the food, I have to say, was a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Okay, someone's on the phone. Let's see. Hello? Hello?
Morris.
Hello.
Morris, welcome to the food show.
I didn't
know
what he said.
Good name, by the way.
Yeah, I know you'd like that, Tom.
Yeah, sure.
But, hey, the place in the Hilton was Cabbies.
Cabbies,
that's it. I was close. Cammies.
But Cabbies, okay.
Cabbies.
All right. Yeah. And did it go away in Katrina? Was that the last
It was long
we
gone
it?
By then.
I don't think so, Tom.
Yeah,
I think
it was gone. I think it might have been gone a little before Katrina,
oh, really?
But I don't remember it after for sure.
Okay. All right, and where was Winston's?
Second floor of the same building.
I don't have any idea on Winston's, but I knew Cabbies.
Okay, now what about that rooftop place I'm talking about? Do you know that one?
The rooftop.
No, just
Cabbies. Okay. Well, you've been very helpful with the Cabbies because that would have driven me crazy all evening. Is that all you called about?
That was it. I was just driving around listening to you guys and wanted to help
you.
Thank
you.
Thank you so
much.
I appreciate it. 260-6368.
All right, y'all have a nice day.
You too.
We're still looking for the name of the place that was the rooftop. I will tell you, I remember that place distinctly. And this is how long ago that was. Okay. All right, we'll go to Ron in a second. I saw a tornado. Oh, Tom, it's a good thing you weren't with me that day. Because it was all glass up there. And I could see the tornado crossing the river from there. Yeah. Anyway, Ron the Gourmet Waiter is with us.
Ah.
Hello. How are you all doing?
We're having a
fun time today.
Okay. Speaking of sandwiches, I just finished a fantastic muffalata.
Oh, yeah?
All right. Where? From where?
Yeah, it was very good. It's called the Blue Store.
It's in Treme.
Yeah. Okay. It's in Treme. The couple's been running this thing since, I think, 1938.
Oh, my goodness.
And, it's been in their family. The muffalata was fantastic.
The Blue Store.
It was done
store.
On French bread also. Okay. It's a little Blue Store on the corner.
And that's the name
sandwiches.
Of it, too? That's the name of it, too? The Blue Store and it's Blue?
We all call it the Blue Store. I live in Treme.
Okay.
That's a closely guarded secret, but I live in Treme because when I worked in the French Quarter, it was always convenient to be close by in case you got called in when you weren't working.
I see.
That's where I was born.
Yes.
Oh, neat. Yeah. Okay, so the other day we were talking about famous restaurants and restaurateurs, and Marianne had talked about her favorite local restaurant, and I think it was Del Porto.
Yes, it is.
Mm.
Okay. So I called in, I think a day later, and I was talking about Scott Craig with Katie's and also Bienvenue and then Francesca.
Yes.
And I was thinking about it later on that night, and I failed to explain to everyone why I like Katie's so much and why I like Scott Craig. I've been to quite a few restaurants, and I've worked in quite a few restaurants, and there's one thing that I always notice when the owner is present. And I find that it's just a better overall operation.
It is.
And I was trying to – I asked myself why I like Katie so much and why I like Francesca so much. And it's not just that the food's very good and that the service is good, but – I like seeing Scott, and Scott likes seeing us, and he's always saying, "How is everything?"
Yeah, he's a kid.
And when you see the person that actually cashes the checks, caring.
Right.
I've seen so many restaurants where you haven't seen the owner in 6 months or a year or longer.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And I was thinking, I've got to call back and I've got to explain why I like Katie's and Francesca so much. It's because you can tell Scott cares. Because he shows up and he wants to talk to you.
No, he's passionate. He's totally passionate. Okay, so here's the big question. You have to pick one of those. Which one is it?
Francesca.
Me too. Me too. I love Francesca.
I'll tell you why.
Tell us.
I love Francesca because I like the idea of his deli, and I know that he's not finished with it, even though Bienvenue is in the plans.
Yeah.
I'm not very familiar with it, but I know that he's not done with that. And if you like sandwiches, and Marianne and I love sandwiches.
He's not done with anything. He's one of those people that you know is not done with anything. Like, you know, when
because
he's done with the next one, he's moving on to the next one. I don't
he
believe
was talking
you.
To me about
I know
hearing
you're saying
me.
Right now you're not, Scott, but you are. Go ahead. What?
He was talking to me when I was in there the other day about curing meats, making his own mozzarella,
yeah.
Just having more control over yeah. The overall quality of everything. And I know he loves the St. Louis cheese, Provel.
He's obsessive.
Yeah. So it's I love Katie's. I think Katie's has blossomed. It's great. I'm waiting for Francesca to blossom because there's even more there.
I hate to tell you this, but I think Francesca has blossomed. I think Francesca is rocking. It's rocking.
Well,
I love it.
Did you read
No Menu.com? I'm not shy to say it. I love that place.
That's the cover story. Did you see NoMenu.com?
No. When did it come out?
It's this morning.
This morning? Oh, no wonder
Francesca
I didn't see it.
Francesca and El Porto are the two things in NoMenu.com.
Well, they're certainly happening.
Anyway,
I'm
going to
go
Craig
take a look.
He's great, and he's you like him because he's a nice guy. But he's full of passion. He is. He really is.
Yes,
for what he
you
does.
You can tell.
For what he does. Anyway. All right.
Thank you.
See ya.
260-6368 is the number. Do we need to take another break now? You're going to go to 50. What are you going to do? You want to do the break? Okay. We'll take a break. We'll be. Okay. Well, I'm going to keep going.
Ronald
with the New
says
Orleans
keep going.
Hamburger and seafood spot. And Tom, it's not going to be about hamburgers. You know why?
Thank goodness.
What? Because I'm doing it.
Ah, good.
It's going to be about all the other stuff that they have. They have char-grilled oysters.
Mm-hmm.
They have superior salads.
Yep.
They have great sandwiches.
You're talking generically
I'm
over
talking
at Chimes?
I'm talking about other things on the menu at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And they have some local specialties. They have, you know, the standard kind of local things that you come to expect, the red beans and the rice, the, you know, creamy pasta dishes and stuff like that. So you should go to New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood, and I'm sure you've probably gone and tried the hamburger, because if you've been listening to this show, you may not know about all the other things that are there. Their fried seafood is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Kick it up a notch with some spicy-licious seasoning on it. You just ask for that.
Yeah, a lot
Start
going on
there.
Start
with some char-grilled oysters.
Mm-hmm.
And then try something different. Have one of their delicious local specialties. That's New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. Great vibe to it. Very casual.
Mm-hmm.
Very relaxing. Except for that one time when I almost had the baby.
Oh, well.
That was unfortunate.
Ooh.
And they have 10 locations. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Go see them.
Well,
and you can get the burger if you must.
Of course. Yeah.
You know.
Got to get that win.
Make a separate trip. Get the burger and then go back and get the seafood and then go back and get the salad and start them all off with the char-grilled oysters. 260-6368 is the number. We were just talking about sandwiches because Ron the Gourmet Waiter apparently likes sandwiches as much as I do. But we can't talk about sandwiches all the time. And we've really run the gamut here.
Yeah, well, let's just go with it then.
We have really run the gamut.
We certainly have.
Sandwiches that are favorites, I always go right to the club. But I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want to talk about sandwiches because we've
club?
Done that quite a bit. The club sandwich.
Oh.
The club sandwich. Mm-hmm. I'm still looking for the name of the restaurant that was on top of the Hilton. You see, I have these food epiphanies.
Yeah.
I remember, maybe I like food more than I think I do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first tried fill in the blank. You know, my first romaine lettuce, I know exactly where that was. My first arugula salad was at the Eiffel Tower. It was walnuts, arugula, blue cheese, and balsamic vinegar.
That's a really wonderful salad.
It is. It really
Always did love that.
It is. But you know what? Kind of off arugula. I loved arugula for a while, but I'm kind of off arugula. And my first meatless meatloaf was at the top of it.
Well, you may keep all of mine on that.
Whatever the name of that restaurant was. Let's go to Steven. Hi, Steven.
Hey, how are you? I remember in the late 50s, my uncle had a big dining room table that sat 100 people.
Oh my goodness!
And he'd have these big parties, and his waiters or servers, whatever we called them back then, all had pepper mills, sort of like a holster on the side of there. So as they were delivering, they could pepper the food as it came out.
Wow. Okay.
So we're going back to the 50s anyway with pepper mills.
It kind of felt like that way.
Well, it's 69 rooms on 650 acres.
So I guess it was a castle then.
On the top of the mountain.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you used to go to these dinners when you were a kid, or you used to watch them from one of the upper balconies of the castle?
No. I used to go, and many times Mom would drop me off in the kitchen, and I'd watch the chef cook. They had French chefs. So, you know, I was always interested in food, so Mom and Dad would go to the party, and they'd drop me off, and I would watch the cooks or the bakers making rolls and
how
whatever.
How old were you then?
I'm Tom's age, so I was 6 or 7 when I sort of started going in the kitchen and watching.
Loved having a 6 or 7 year old running around the kitchen when they're trying to get food out for 100.
That I was that old, gee.
Well, yeah. I can remember I was a pretty good kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, my mother had to do was call me by my whole name, and whatever I was doing, I stopped doing. And I can never remember having a temper tantrum in the grocery store or something that I wanted something.
Yeah, no, but what I'm talking about is if you know, it's like even if you're a really well-behaved kid, but you're still 6, you're only waist high to someone who is busy getting rolls and all kinds of other things out, and I'm sure you got tripped on a few times.
Well, I don't know that I don't remember ever having it. But I also started milking 25 cows a day when I was 6 years old.
Is that all?
Oh, my goodness. Oh my gosh.
25 in the morning and 25 in the afternoon.
Oh, gosh. You should write a book, Stephen.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
Or your mom should write a book. You and your mom, next time you go visit your mom, after you all finish fighting about where you're going to dinner, you should write a book together.
Hmm. Yeah, well, she'll want to stay home and eat leftovers, and I want to go out to dinner.
Well, leave her the outline to start writing while you go out to dinner, and you can fill it in when you get back. All right.
And we're not going to any quick food restaurants, but how about pink salt?
About what?
Pink salt. Yes,
pink salt.
I've been seeing that. You know, one of my favorite places in the whole wide world, Fortnum & Mason, has an entire of spices from everywhere in the world. And they have probably 6 or 7 different kinds of salt. And one of them was pink salt.
And the other day I saw a show on Greece, and they showed their open-air markets. And they were just full of spices, container after container of, you know, I bet they had 30 or 40 different spices, that you could buy.
I'm sure. My big fantasy trip is Morocco. I've got to go to Morocco and go to their souks, their markets there, and get some spices.
Oh, and also, try Winn-Dixie's Prestige Vanilla Ice Cream for Tom. It is a full half gallon of ice cream.
Oh, that's just what I need.
It won a national award. Breyers is not a full half gallon. You think it is, but they downsized this a few years ago and didn't up the price, but they gave you less ice cream. But Prestige won that's the Winn-Dixie brand,
okay.
won a national contest for the best French vanilla ice cream in the country.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Are there preservatives in it, or is it just pure?
No, I think it's pretty pure.
Okay.
I have some in my refrigerator. I will go look
and let you
know tomorrow.
Okay, well, you can go look now because I'm going to talk about an ice cream that I don't like, which everyone else in the world seems to like, which is Bluebell.
I mean, neither. No. It's too sweet.
Bluebell to be
it's
very
way
sweet,
too sweet.
Which for you to say is kind of shocking.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I sit in the car and listen to the radio because I have an HD radio in the house. Sitting here with my air conditioner running
sad.
For the last.
That's so sad.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
what
gonna
to say.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to go spend $30.
We're definitely not worth it. I'm going to tell you right now, we're definitely not worth it. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
All right, take care, Stephen. Thanks for
okay,
calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's the food show.
The loyalty is much appreciated. 260-6368. Do we need a break right now, Ron? Go ahead and do it, yeah. And the commercials, and you are providing your depth of knowledge with things such as pepper.
You never know when you're going to need
places
pepper
like
knowledge.
Winston's. That I don't even remember.
That was a unique one.
You are providing important depth and texture to the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to have been able to do so.
Otherwise, you could have just fallen out the window.
And fallen into the...
260-6368. Just got a few minutes if you would like to chat. We've talked about, oh, my goodness, all kinds of things today.
Yeah, that's that.
Most
well,
interesting
that's
was when Tom was going through the encyclopedic knowledge that he has about spices and where pepper comes from and all of that sort of thing. And I am still waiting for someone to tell me, because I know somebody knows mm-hmm. this out there. What was the name of the restaurant that was on the rooftop of the Hilton in the early 80s? I think it left maybe in, I want to say 1985-ish. I think it went bye-bye then. And I don't think anything has been up there since then. I don't know what's up there.
It was a victim of the museum. Not the museum. The
aquarium?
I
think there's a health club up there now.
No, well, maybe there is, but what I'm desperately
it's
trying to remember is it'll come to me in a second.
It should be. We don't have any rooftop places.
No,
up
that's
here.
True. Not much.
I'm trying to think if there are any rooftop restaurants in this city. Is there one on top of the Marriott?
There always has been, but they were always using it as a private party location, and very, very rarely up there.
It's
but
too
we
bad.
We did do an Eat Club dinner there, and it was on like the 75th floor or something.
555 or something? Was that 555?
It's that big, the big Marriott hotel on Canal Street.
Yeah, no, that was 555. But I think 555 was down on the first floor. I do recall that there was something on the rooftop. We have a caller though. Let's go to Mark.
Yeah, let's do.
Hi.
Mark, you there?
Yes, I am.
Come
hey
on
there.
In.
Hey, I was called to ask Tom, but I guess Mary Ann is there. She can answer the question, too. My son sent me for Father's Day some high-end meat, something called 7X. I'm not familiar with it, but I'm going to cook some hamburger patties that came with the package. And I guess they've got a high fat content, supposed to be from Japanese bred cattle or something like that. I don't know. Would it be better to do it over charcoal or on a cast iron skillet?
You don't have very much of a difference between those two things there, except for the flavor, but for the textures and everything that you would get from that, it wouldn't make too much of a a difference unless you fired up one of them a lot more than the other.
Why don't you do both? Try both ways and then call us and tell us what happened.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd be very happy to hear that.
Do an experiment.
Yep.
Well, that's probably exactly what I'm going to do. Tonight, my son's not coming home from a trip to New Orleans because he's going to go see Weird Al Yankovic tonight.
Where are you?
Where am I? I'm in heaven.
Oh, okay. Oh, then let me ask you a question. Have you been to the new 113?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, what good are you?
What is 113?
113 is the new hip place in Hammond, very out of place for Hammond. It's on, I guess it's 113 something street. You know, whatever street is the one that is heading south. Not north, the South Street. It is
51 South.
But it's by the train. Yes, exactly. Heading 51 South. Whatever that's called, unless it's 51 South. It's 113, then 51 South. Okay, and it's right by the train station, like a block or so away. It is a collaboration between. Is there a John Wong? Does that sound right?
It could be. There were a lot of
extra Wongs?
There were a lot of extra Wongs, and
it's a Wong.
They were
I know
Chinese.
It's a Wong.
Well, I'll make a connection for you. The guys at Trey Yen.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. They, the Wongs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're hooked in with that.
Oh, there goes the bye. There goes the ship. I see it behind you, Tom. Oh. It's going off. They didn't even blow the horn. Okay. Huh. So it's one of the Wongs. I don't think it's one of the ones that you're familiar with. It's not the household name Wongs. It's maybe one of the older brothers.
Yeah. Probably.
And Saul Rubio.
Well, if any Wong is involved, there's probably going to be a very good restaurant. The problem is, to paraphrase Huey Lewis in the news, I'm too square to be hip.
Well, let me tell you, this place is the hippest thing in Hammond, okay? I mean, if I could say, and I don't even like this, but you kind of walk up and there's like this music kind of pulsing from inside, and that is kind of off-putting to me. I would sit outside, but the patio is charming outside. So if you go, let me know, because we're going to have to go. But only Mary Lee and I are going to go, because Tom, that wouldn't be his thing.
No.
Are you familiar with Cochina de Brasas?
Yes.
All right, what is that? What is that?
I haven't gone, but my wife, who teaches at the university, has been there and says it's fairly good. I don't think... When one trip, she's got the whole feel for it, but she told me she enjoyed it.
Okay, well, I think that 113 might also be Cochina de Brasas. I'm not sure if they're the same thing or if 113 is their nickname, but they're right next door to each other.
I'll have to check it out.
Check
and
it
I'll
out
try the burgers both ways.
Yes, all right, and give us a report on all of it, okay?
All right, Dan.
Bye, Mark. Thank you.
That whole area there has benefited so much from the college there.
Yeah. I mean, Paul was saying that.
And everybody is doing really, really well as a result of that, including all the people who are students in the in Southeastern.
Well, Paul, Tom's girlfriend, is a teacher at Southeastern.
Who?
What's her name? What's her name? Wait.
Not that I know of.
No, he's a major crush on her. What's her name? The singer. What's it? Alyssa? Alyssa, that's it. I call her Tom's girlfriend. Alyssa was the... Alyssa!
The director of the chorus I was in?
M-Pass.
Oh,
yes.
No, she is something else.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
was just...
Watch him go. Here he goes.
She was a chorister. Mm-hmm. And would just run the chorus, and she could practically run on the ceiling and drop
that. She's sort of high energy.
Really high energy and very hard to keep up with.
But Tom is in awe of Alyssa. Anyway, she teaches at Southeastern.
And she's a great singer, too.
She teaches at Southeastern. And she sings with the symphony sometimes. Yeah.
Very often. Yeah. And just if you ever get an opportunity to see her, Alyssa.
Tell her Tom said hi if you ever get an opportunity to see.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, Southeastern has now brought 28 restaurants to downtown Hammond.
I believe that.
So it's a hopping kind of place. But this 113 is the hoppingest of the hopping, for sure.
Mm.
And
an accolade.
We're going to have to, Mary Lee and I are going to go check that out because that's not your kind of place, Tom. Definitely. You have two choices. One is inside with the pulsing music or outside with the heat. So those are not, I think your answer to that would be false, right?
Yeah, it usually is. Yeah. That's always.
But not for us, because we have, as people have been told by you, Mary Lee and I'm happy and proud to say this, that we will eat outside in a hurricane.
Oh, that is for sure.
We are
ladies and gentlemen,
not deterred by weather that is maybe not so appropriate for outdoor dining.
They don't care. They just jump in.
And there are many servers who curse us, I'm sure, when we're not looking, because they have to go out and serve us in the cold or the drizzle.
Oh, well.
Anyway, tomorrow we have Danny Millen on with Tommy Andrade. Both of them are coming in here to chat.
No kidding.
You. Yeah. Very exciting. And Danny's going to talk about his new place, and Tommy's going to talk about his new life, which is retired on his horse farm and flying his airplanes. And what a wonderful story of success here in America.
Yeah, there you go.
We will see you tomorrow.
I hope so.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. It was a pleasure doing this to you. It's been an interesting day.
All right. We will see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful meal. You're listening to WWL FM 105.3
HD2
New Orleans. Good night.
Good night.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.